I don't hear any more pages rustling, so you've had time to turn to our scripture passage found in Acts and chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. If you're able, may I ask you if you would stand with me in order and honor to the Word of God as I read our scripture passage this morning in Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at the first verse of the chapter. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. And but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have today to look into your word. I thank you, Lord, for each one who is present with us this morning in the auditorium and has come for the services this morning. We do, Lord, pray as well for those who are watching online, perhaps some that are ill and unable to be with us. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen them and raise them up again, and, Lord, that you might draw out your people once more to be faithful in your house to serve you. Bless, we pray, our time together as we see what your word says are the pillars of a successful church. We ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Here we find in this passage of scripture an amazing thing. We've just read the beginning of that, but if we pick up the narrative, where I stopped is where Peter begins to preach an evangelistic sermon. And after the sermon is over, we pick up the narrative at verse 37 once more when it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing each one together. Bless now your word to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Now, as we look at this passage of scripture this morning, what we find here is the beginning of the growth of the church in Jerusalem. Think about it. Every other Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church is an outgrowth of this original church. This was the first church that was established. And so we find in this passage of scripture that there were certain things that were in place that God could use to be able to build this church. Now we know it is not pastor's responsibility to build the church. It's not an evangelist's responsibility to build the church. It's not even your responsibility to build the church. The Bible says, the Lord says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." But the Lord chooses to use pastor and evangelist and church members to do the work of building the church. Yet if we look at this passage of scripture this morning, it does not happen by accident. There were vital things that were in place that we could call the pillars of a successful church that must be in place and that you can have a part in if, for example, specifically this week, Calvary Baptist Church in Hollister, California is going to grow and be multiplied and be blessed of God and be fruitful, even in a time of uncertainty and strange circumstances that we have in the country and in the state and in our world today. I want you to notice what were the pillars of a successful church in the remainder of our time together. What were they? Well, notice first of all, there was presence. There was presence. If we go back to the first of the chapter, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, and then what does it say? In one place. In one place. All of God's people were present that the Lord might work through them. Now listen, the Bible tells us that we ought not, Hebrews 10:25, forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe as we're living in this country, look, with the vaccines that are coming out, people are being vaccinated and all the other things are being done that way. In any case, it is high time for God's people to gather themselves together once more to be faithful in the house of God. I think, frankly, some people rather enjoy going to church in their jammies with their coffee cup in their hand. But that's not worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not us being where God wants us to be. I remember driving past out here in California a number of years ago, Southern California, there was a large church off the freeway and they had their own billboard out next to the highway that said this, CH space space CH. And then the question, what is missing? You are. You can't even spell the word church without you in it. Now there may be an older person here or there or someone with a physical need that perhaps feels they need to stay home at this time. But look, the rest of God's people need to get out of their jammies, need to get the coffee cup ahead of going to church if they need the starter fluid to wake up in the morning or catch a cup on the way to church and be faithful in the house of God. God's people need to be present for God to work in a local church together. So let me encourage you to make yourself here in the house of God. They were all together with one accord in one place. What better week than this week when we're having special meetings to get yourself back in the habit of being faithful in the house of God rather than just observing what's going on. That brings me to the second thing that was here in this church that God could bless to build it, and that was participation. Participation. What does it say again in verse 1? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. In other words, the people weren't just there watching what was going on. You know, there are some people, even when they are in person in church, have the idea somehow that church going is a spectator sport. They sit back and they watch all kinds of other folks. You know, I read a joke from somebody years ago that said, I'm not against work. I love work. I could sit and watch it all day long. And there are some folks that do that when it comes to church. They come to church, and when they are there, they nestle down into the corner of their chair for a quiet doze. They sit back and they watch other people. They may comment on how well the choir sang, or how well the instrumentalist played, or what they liked about the pastor's message, or whatever else. But God doesn't want us to be spectators. Church is to be an audience participation sport, if you will. You can participate in every part of the service. What do you mean, Brother Webb? Well, you can participate in the praise. The Bible tells us, if you're saved, that he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. So when God's people are singing, I always tell people, look, when you're singing in church, sing from the bottom of your heart at the top of your lungs. That means three things. Think about what you're singing, mean what you're singing, and then sing it like you mean it. Sing praise to God. Glorify his name. Everybody can participate in that. The more singing, the greater joy we can gather together, the more of a testimony it has to the lost around us as well as they look around during the congregational singing. I like to ask people, hey, what would a visitor say if they came to church and looked around at the folks here at Calvary Baptist during a song service? Would they say, boy, look at these deadpan people? Look at these folks that don't have a smile on their face and aren't singing. Or would they look around and say, wow, these folks are really praising God. There's really something to what these folks have. I wish I could have what it is they have. God's people can participate in the praise. Participate in the praise. You can participate in the prayer. Oh, you say, wait a minute, Brother Webb. God, pastor calls on somebody else to pray, or he leads in prayer. Think about the terminology. Leads in prayer. If someone is leading, that supposes that everybody else should be what? Following. That's right. In other words, we don't just check out while the pastor's praying and think about what's for lunch later on today, or think about what the kids were doing in the car on the way to church this morning, or some other such thing that way. But rather, we ought to be participating with the one who is praying. The Bible says we ought to be agreeing together. And if two or more agree on earth as touching anything, God says it'll be done, or Jesus said it'll be done of the Father, which is in heaven. So you gotta have your mind engaged with a prayer. You have to be going along with the one who's leading in prayer and agreeing, yes, Lord, if you want to see God answer those prayers and grow the church. So there's presence, number one. Number two, there's participation. And what else was there on this day of Pentecost? Well, there was proclamation. Proclamation. And there were two kinds of proclamation listed here. What were they? The first was from the people. It says in verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. What brought a crowd together to listen to the preaching of the word of God from the disciples? It was the proclamation by the people. People went everywhere saying, hey, you need to come. You got to see what's taking place here. You got to listen to the preaching, and it'll change your, this is very unusual. It'll change your life what you're going to hear in this place. And that's true in building any church as well. Not just during a time of COVID, but anytime. How do we get God's people to come? How do we get visitors to come? By inviting them. If we just sit back and never invite anybody, hey, I can tell you this during our special meetings this week. If you don't invite anybody to come, you will reach your goal. Nobody will come. But if you'll invite as many people as you can to come, you might be surprised at who will. They're probably tired of being locked up in their house all day long. They'd be glad to get out and go someplace else, particularly if there's something for the family, like we'll be doing this week with puppets and chalk art or whatever else that's taking place. But even when there are not special meetings going on, every service ought to be special to God's people. And we ought to be here, and we could be inviting others to come as well. That's not just the pastor's job. Everybody expects the pastor to invite people to church. But when the regular membership of the church are the ones that are inviting and asking everybody they can, that says even something more. That God's people, the folks that are there, are being blessed. And they want others to be there as well. So the Bible tells us there was presence. Are you present in the house of God? There's participation. Are you putting yourself in action with everybody else that is there as well? Are you proclaiming? Are you proclaiming? Are you letting other people know what's going on? There's not only proclamation from the people, there is proclamation from the preacher as well. The proclamation from the preacher. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, he preached the word of God. Now I can assure you that even this week in our special meetings these days, that we're going to be preaching the word of God. One thing you'll notice is that I quote a lot of scripture when I preach usually. I was preaching in one church and a man came up to me afterwards. He said, Brother Webb, I noticed you quote a lot of Bibles when you preach. He said, I just started making a mark on my church bulletin every time you quoted another passage of scripture. He said, I stopped counting today when you passed 40. Now, I don't say that to pat Barry Webb on the back. I say that to leaving anybody here or anybody watching that comes. Know that when you invite somebody to come, when you come, you're not going to hear the opinion of evangelist Barry Webb or of Calvary Baptist Church or Pastor Brent Snow. What you will hear is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And I know your pastor preaches God's Word as well. It is not somebody else's ideology or psychology or philosophy that is studied here at the church. It is the Word of God, and that is what the Bible says never returns void, that always accomplishes the purpose whereunto it was sent. And so the Word of God says there needs to be proclamation. There needs to be sharing of the gospel. Mark 16, verse 15 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So there's presence, there's participation, there's proclamation. What else? Number four, there was practice. There was practice. There was following through. How do you know? Well, look at what the Word of God says in chapter 2 and verse 42. Chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine. One of the things that these people after the day of Pentecost kept on doing what had been preached. They were keeping on in the doctrine and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. Hey, think about it this morning. If you invite very many people to come to church, you've probably already run into somebody, or you will shortly, that will say, I'm not interested in church because the church is full of what? Hypocrites. Oh, you've heard that before. The problem is sometimes it's true. Look, if the lost world can hear your car coming three blocks away, ba-boom, ba-boom, twang, 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 like you can hear theirs, so that when they pull up behind you at the stoplight, you wonder if there's a minor earth tremor taking place in the road behind you. I guess that wouldn't be unusual out here in California. But in any case, then why do they need your gospel if your music is no different from theirs? If they see you in the back porch popping off the lid of a can of beer and slugging back a cold one, Then why do they need your gospel? Your activities aren't any different than theirs are. If they hear you abusing your family members, or your kids rebelling against your authority and stomping out of the house and squealing the car tires up the road, why do they need anything you're trying to share with them? Because your life is no different than theirs. The Word of God says that each one of us needs to put into practice what is being preached. Even many lost people know some of what a Christian is supposed to be like. And if they see a believer who's not living that way, they want to throw the whole thing out. Because, hey, those people are all a bunch of hypocrites. James 1:22 reminds us, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We deceive ourselves into thinking we're okay if we just hear the word of God, if we're just present for the preaching of it. But we need to be involved in the practicing of it as well. Well, let me give you the last two things that are necessary for God to work here. And you can check and see whether they're in your life or in Calvary Baptist Church as well. And that is that there was prayer. There was prayer. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 tells us that one of the things that they continued steadfastly in was in what? The apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. God's people were praying people. Hey, you know what? The Bible says sometimes we have not because we what? We ask not. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. The Bible says we need to be praying people. Look at what happened when God's people gathered together corporately and prayed. Remember when John had been beheaded, Peter was thrown in jail. They were going to cut his head off the next day. And what happened? God's people gathered together at the home of Mark and they prayed. And God sent his angel and delivered Peter out of the jail. But it's an interesting thing that even happened in that passage of scripture. They must not have been too expecting for God to answer their prayer. Because when Peter showed up at their door, knocking at the gate, wanting to get in, what did they say? Oh, it's his ghost. They already killed him. Why? What faith those people had. And a little girl that came to us said, no, it's actually Peter. It's him. Hey, listen. We need to realize God answers the prayer of his people. When we gather together and we agree together and we pray, God has promised to answer. God has promised to bless in his answer. That's why Matthew 7 verse 7 says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We need to be praying together as God's people as well. And so there was prayer. By the way, what were they doing when the Spirit of God came upon them in the first place? They were all with one accord in one place. But what were they doing? The Bible says they were praying. They were asking for God to bless in a tremendous way. And because of that, then they had what is absolutely necessary for the building of God's church. What's that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that in that chapter two, it says that the Holy Spirit had come upon them. What did Jesus tell his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? But ye shall receive what? Power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and unto Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Think about it. When the disciples had seen Jesus dead, buried, and risen, they knew the gospel. But the Lord didn't tell them to preach anything then. In fact, he forbade them to preach at that point. He sent them to Jerusalem. He said, wait there. Why? Why not preach now? He said, until you be endued with power from on high. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need as well. I think when the charismatic movement years ago became a popular thing and the cult of the Holy Spirit exploded, how do we know that's not of God? Because the Bible says the Spirit of God won't speak of himself. He lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think there were a lot of fundamental Bible-believing preachers who didn't want to be associated with that false doctrine. And so they stopped preaching about what the work of the Holy Spirit of God is to the local church. And so nowadays, sad to say, many of fundamental churches based on the personality of the pastor or the building program that they have any other thing except for the building plant, you know, the buildings they have, build another building, you get a bigger crowd, all that kind of an idea. That's what their ministry is built on, not built on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we need God's Holy Spirit with us. We need His Spirit to work amongst us to accomplish His will. These are the things that this passage of Scripture says were responsible by the power of God using them to build the local church in Jerusalem. And again, every Bible-believing church in the world today is an outgrowth of this original church. Jesus will build His church, but He uses each one of us fulfilling these pillars to accomplish that work. So let me challenge you. You can begin to do that this week, even by participating in any way you can with the special meetings this week and allowing the Lord to have His will and His way with you here. I hope that you'll be able to join us when you can, when the services are in person, and that you'll be in prayer throughout this week together for God to work in a tremendous way. Let's close in a word of prayer. Amen. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you in the morning service in just a little bit.